بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, we have entered into the holy and auspicious months in the Islamic calendar that the Quran refers to as Minha Arba'atun Hurum. These are four very sacred months. And these sacred months commence with the month of Zulqa'dah, followed by Zulhijjah, and then Muharram. And one of the four is in the month of Rajab. So the three are consecutive, one after the other. Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram, and Rajab is the seventh month in the calendar. We have entered this period that is the leading up to the very, very holy days of the season of Hajj. We will come soon onto the 10 days of Zulhijjah, which are regarded as very great days in the Islamic calendar, and the great ibadah of Hajj and of Udhiya, Qurbani, will take place in this period of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. But the month of Zulqa'dah is leading us up towards that period, and it is also a sacred month. Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Ali, famous commentator of the Holy Quran, mentions that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these 4 months are sacred, what does it mean? It means that ibadah that is done in these months, the reward is multiplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you get more reward, more thawab for whatever good deeds we do in these months in comparison to the other months in the calendar. Also we find that just as the rewards are multiplied, to do any bad deeds also will be multiplied. Therefore, we should strive for acts of obedience and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should make a concerted effort to stay away from all sins and prohibited actions. Nevertheless, my dear friends, when we look at the month of Zulqa'dah, we find that a very great event took place in the history of Islam in this month of Zulqa'dah. This is the very month in the 6th year of Hijrah. The sixth year of Hijrah, beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one morning awoke and he was very excited and overjoyed, and he gathered the Sahaba kiram in the Masjidun Nabawi Sharif, and they understood from this that some very significant matter has occurred, because this is what used to happen when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered them like this. They understood that some very great and significant event has happened, and so they realized that some important news is going to be given to them. And after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered them in the Masjidun Nabawi Sharif, then he addressed them and he told them, "Oh my companions, I had seen a dream in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me that I, along with my companions, all of you, we were in Ihram, and we had entered the Masjid al-Haram, and we were carrying out the acts of Umrah, and we were then safe and protected. They were in total safety and protection, and after that, we completed our rites of Umrah, and we removed our hair by shaving or by cutting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed this dream to me, and it is an indication that we should proceed for the journey of Umrah. Sahaba ikram were extremely excited by this news, because they were longing to go back to Makkah. 6 long years had passed after Hijrah. They had not been to Makkah. They had not seen many of their relatives and family members. And most of all, they were longing and pining to visit Baytullah and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know how it was because of lockdown, that for a period of time, none of us were able to visit the Baytullah, and we know the feeling of restlessness that we experienced, and everybody was anxious, and everyone was worried, concerned, and making dua. Allah, open the door and let us go back so that we can make ziyarat of Baytullah and we can make ziyarat of Medina Munawwara. It wasn't a very long period, but even that time, that duration, was something that everybody felt the separation, and they felt that eagerness to go back to Makkah and Medina. So we can imagine what it must have been with the Sahaba ikram, especially those who made Hijrah, that they, how much they long and how much they pine and how much they desire to go back to Makkah Mukarrama. And so we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam got ready, and the companions all got ready with him, and they were then instructed to get the animals ready, because that was how it used to be in those days. They took the Qurbani animals along with them on the journey, and the animals also accompanied them right through, because this was the actual manner, the correct manner of the Umrah and the Hajj, was to take the hadaya, as it is called, the hadi, and the animal was taken along, and that very same animal accompanied them, and then that animal was sacrificed at the time of the Hajj or the Umrah. So we find that now the hadi animals were all ready, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam put on the ihram, and approximately 1400 to 1500 of the Sahaba ikram put on the ihram with beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Zul Hulayfa, which is known as Masjidul Miqat. And even till this day, the Hujjaj and the Mu'tamireen, they put on the ihram. It is now referred to as Abyar Ali or Bir Ali, but the actual name was Zul Hulayfa, and it is there that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam put on ihram. Whenever he went for Umrah, whenever he went for Hajj, he would put on the ihram at Zul Hulayfa. This is the miqat of Medina Munawwara. Thereafter, they proceeded peacefully. They did not carry weapons with them other than what normally a traveler will carry, a weapon. More than that, they did not carry any extra weapons with them to demonstrate the fact that they were on a peaceful journey to Makkah Mukarrama, and all they wished to do was to carry out an act of ibadah. And this was a norm in the Arab community, that the tribes were allowed. This was a requirement that Quraysh, who were the custodians of the Holy House, they were required to give permission to anyone and everyone to come to perform their Umrah, or if it was Hajj season, to do their Hajj in peace and with no interference. They were to allow everybody permission to come and to do the Umrah, especially if people came in peace and they were not intending to do any disruption. They were required to come and do and to allow the people to do the Umrah in peace. Yet we find that as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions drew closer to Makkah Mukarramah, and they came to a place called Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah is about 25 somewhat kilometers outside of Makkah, between Jeddah and Makkah. Hudaybiyah is situated there. And as they came to Hudaybiyah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found that the camel Qaswa that he was riding, suddenly it just stopped and paused. It just paused. It refused to get up. It refused to move forward. Sahaba Ikiram remarked that maybe it has become rebellious and it does not want to comply with orders anymore. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Qaswa has stopped for a specific reason. Qaswa has stopped here because it is ordered and instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how the elephants of Abraha, how they had stopped outside Muzdalifah, at Muzdalifah, and they did not proceed forward towards Baytullah. Like that, Qaswa was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pause and to stop at that point. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood that perhaps there is a very great hikmah and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his camel stopping at that point in time. Any case, they set up camp there, and there was one old well there. There was no water in the well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he took some Mubarak saliva of his and placed it into the well, and subhanallah, mu'jiza of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, umpteen mu'jizas and miracles like this were witnessed throughout his Mubarak life. According to ulama, the count of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mu'jizas were into the tens of thousands of mu'jizas that he displayed throughout his Mubarak life. And so the water came up, and there was ample water, sufficient water for everybody. And now in the meantime, the Quraysh had learned about the imminent arrival of the Muslims into Makkah to do the Umrah, and they were filled with hatred and animosity, such hatred and animosity that they broke even their custom and tradition of allowing everybody entry into Makkah. They had a urgent meeting of their leaders, and they took a vow on their idols, Lat, Uzza and Manat, and they said, we will not allow the Muslims entry into Makkah. We will prevent them from entry into Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received intelligence of this, and he began to ponder that what should be our line of action. In the meantime, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that let us try to at least reason with them, let us try to negotiate with them, let us try to discuss with them. Perhaps through some dialogue and discussion, we can make some progress. So we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to go, but he said, O Nabi of Allah, any order and command you give me, I am willing to carry out, but this one time, I will recommend that in place of myself send Usman, because strategically it will be better if Usman goes. He still has a lot of clan, relatives and family in Makkah. And if he goes, his family will receive him. They will give him protection, and they will arrange for an audience with the leaders of the Quraysh. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked the suggestion of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He approached Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately got ready, and he proceeded, and he went to meet his cousin Aban in Makkah Mukarramah. And Aban received Usman, his cousin, was very happy and pleased, and told him, oh Usman, what brings you here? He said, I have come here as an emissary, as a ambassador on behalf of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to dialogue with the Quraysh. Can you arrange a meeting? So the Quraysh had a council, and they received Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they told him, oh Usman, if you want to do Umrah, we have no objection. You are free to proceed and you can go and complete your umrah. We have no objection. But we will not allow Muhammad and his companions to enter Makkah. We will not allow them to do the umrah. Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu told them, I will never perform the umrah without my leader, without my master. Loyalty, the loyalty, Allahu Akbar. It was an opportunity, he could have gone. But he said, how can I go when my beloved Nabi is not there? My master, my leader is not there. How can I go? He refused to even set foot in the haram. Hazrat Usman did not even go into the haram. He said, I cannot go in without my beloved master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with me. Any case, the discussions, they said, no, we will not allow them. They are not allowed to come. We have taken an oath. Hazrat Usman reasoned with them, tried to explain to them, listen, we have come with our hadi animals to show that it's a peaceful entry. We have worn ihram to show that we have come in peace. We have not come with weapons that we want to engage in any kind of warfare. We have come with humility as worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out the noble rite of umrah. All we want to do is complete our umrah and return. But they refused flatly. In the meantime, Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to meet some of the oppressed Muslims in Makkah Mukarrama, those who were unable to make hijrah because they were chained up and they were kept in captivity. They were not allowed to leave. They were tortured. They were not allowed to leave Makkah. And Hazrat Usman went to meet them and he went to give them consolation that don't worry, inshallah, a day is coming when Allah will give you relief from all of this. When the Quraysh came to learn that Usman has gone to meet these Muslims, they felt that maybe he's going to instigate them, so they decided that they're going to take him into custody and captivity. In the meantime, a rumor reached Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba that Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been martyred and he has been made shaheed by the enemies of the Quraysh. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was beside himself with grief and sorrow. And the Sahaba came forward and they said, O beloved of Allah, we are ready for whatever command you are prepared to give us. They were sitting under an acacia tree, the shajara as it is referred to in the Holy Quran. They were sitting under this acacia tree. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took bay'at and took a pledge from each and every one of them. This was known as bay'atul ridwan. The pledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone pledged that we will avenge the death of Usman with whatever it takes. We will give our lives. We have come ill-equipped. We are low, small in number. But we will give our lives, every one of us. We will fight till our death to avenge the killing of Usman. They took this bay'at. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also at that time took the bay'at for Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu by placing his own hand on his hand. He took the bay'at of Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was a bay'at in absentia. Nevertheless, the Muslims were ready now that we are ready for action. We will, as soon as we receive the command, we will proceed. But in the meantime, the news reached them. And the Quraysh heard about this bay'at and so on. They realized the Muslims are dead serious and they are willing to do the ultimate. So they quickly released Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he returned to the Muslims and the Muslims were extremely overjoyed. And then he brought the news that now we cannot do the umrah because they are refusing permission. In the meantime, there were envoys that came and went from the Quraysh side and they tried every tactic to try to dissuade the Muslims from doing the umrah and to return to Medina Munawwara. Finally, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relented and he gave in when they came with a proposal of a peace treaty. And there were seven conditions of that peace treaty. The seven conditions they laid out. First of all, that it is going to be a truce of 10 years between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quraysh. For 10 years, there will be no fighting, there will be no bloodshed, there will be a peace treaty between them, a truce of 10 years. And some other conditions, they said, next year, this year you're not allowed to do the Umrah, but you can come back next year for 3 days, Quraysh will empty Makkah, and for 3 days, you are allowed to do the Umrah, and then you have to return. And they also made some other conditions about returning those Muslims that escaped Makkah, have to be returned back to the Quraysh. But if anyone left Medina and went to Makkah, then they were not to be returned. In other words, quite a few conditions they laid out that were quite unfair to the Muslims. And it was very one-sided. When the treaty was being written out, then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dictating the wording. He said, put in the beginning, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. They objected. They said, no, we don't know who is Rahman and Rahim. So we're not accepting that. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, put there, then in the name of Allah and leave it at that. So they said, okay, that's fine. Then he said, this is a treaty between Muhammadur Rasulullah and the Quraysh. And they objected and they said, no, we don't know who is Muhammadur Rasulullah. If we knew who is Muhammadur Rasulullah, there would be no fight here. But the whole problem, the whole fight is about the fact that we don't accept you as Rasulullah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine, then put there Muhammad bin Abdullah, treaty between Muhammad bin Abdullah and the Quraysh. The Sahaba beside themselves with anger and rage that look at these people, look at how disrespectful they are, look at how hard and difficult they are. But Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seeing something ahead. He was seeing a bigger picture. And then the treaty was signed and sealed. In the meantime, as soon as the treaty was signed and sealed, a person by the name of Abu Jandal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had accepted Islam. And he was chained by the Quraysh and was not allowed to leave. And they were torturing him. He managed to escape Makkah. And he managed to make his way to the camp of the Muslims there. And he came and he started crying and weeping and telling them about the torture that he was been going through. And his father, Suhail, was the very person who signed the treaty. He told Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, the first condition of this treaty was that anyone from our people, even if they are Muslim, if they want to go with you to Medina, they're not allowed. I'm not allowing him to go. We are taking him back. And he dragged his son and took him back to Makkah to torture him. The Muslims were shattered. They were heartbroken to see their brother in iman, in chains, crying, being ill-treated, tortured, dragged back into Makkah Mukarramah. And they were extremely, extremely upset and very, very distraught at this set of events. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, said, since we have signed, our word is our honor. We have given our word, we can't go against our word. Allah will open a way. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Jandal, do not be concerned. Soon Allah will open a way for you. You will find your way out. But right now we are bound by the terms and conditions of this treaty. Though Nabi Karim sallam tried to intercede with his father to say, look, we only signed the treaty now. We could be lenient, but he refused. So nevertheless, we find that now Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, oh my companions, we shall have to return. We are going to have to return without performing the Umrah. Sahaba ikram were stunned. They were absolutely stunned, like paralyzed. Not one got up or moved from their place. And they were like in a daze, in a shock. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very concerned that he's addressing them, telling them, come out of your ihram and we have to return and nobody is moving. Any case, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a state of worry and concern and consternation, went into his tent and Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha Ummahatul Mu'mineen, she gave him mashwara and she told him, see, you set the example yourself. Come out of your tent, do the slaughter of the animal and take off your hair. When Sahaba will see you doing, then they will follow suit. This was a wonderful mashwara given, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out. He slaughtered his hadi animal and he removed his hair. And when the Sahaba saw that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself has come out of ihram, then everyone followed and they returned. And on the way, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala revealed the ayat of the Holy Quran: Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have granted you an open victory. We have granted you a manifest victory, O beloved Nabi. We have granted you a victory. Sahaba Ikram were astonished. They said, O Nabi of Allah, for us it looked like a defeat because all the conditions were against us. We were not allowed to go for Umrah. Everything was against us. Our brother Abu Jandal was taken away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it is a victory. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, O my companion, you do not know what I know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set the stage for a very great victory that is to follow. And subhanallah, what do we find? That as a result of that peace treaty, the people who were very fearful in the past of Quraysh and all of these things, now when they realize there's a peace between the Muslims and the Quraysh, they were now able to come to Medina freely, and they began to visit Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Delegations came. They wanted to open communication and dialogue. And as a result of that interaction between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, and they coming and going to Medina, and the Muslims meeting them and talking to them and explaining to them and giving them dawah to Islam, and they having to witness firsthand. Before they could not see, they were not able to witness the good akhlaq, the good ways, the good values, the good character, the good conduct, the beautiful teachings of this beautiful sublime deen and the sublime Nabi. They were not able to see all of this because of the distance, because they were not able to see they were not able to interact. But now they saw for themselves, subhanallah, the beauty of the beloved Nabi and his deen, and they began to enter into Islam in big numbers. Delegation after delegation came and they entered into Islam, and many of them, they signed treaties between themselves and the Muslimin, and they said, look, now we are signing treaties, there will be no more warfare between us, we are not going to fight anymore, and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of this one compromise that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, as difficult as it was for the Sahaba, they made this one compromise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors after that, that where in the year 6 Hijra, there were 1500 of them that went. 2 years later, in the 7th Hijra in Zulqadah, 1 year later they went for the Umratul Qadha, for the 3 days. Then a year later, in the 8th year of Hijra, subhanallah, there were more than 10,000 Muslims. The number of the Muslims increased, you could say, by tenfold. And there were 10,000 of them that marched to Makkah Mukarramah with beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the time of Fathu Makkah and the conquest of Makkah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was referring to those things when Allah said, Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina. We have granted you a manifest victory, O Nabi. It was reference to the events that were coming to, that were to follow. The opening of the floodgates of hidayat of the people, the numbers of the Muslims swelling, and the victory of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he entered Makkah as a conqueror without the spilling of a drop of blood. So my dear friends, in this there are great lessons to be learned. The time does not allow us to go into any details, but we learn and we see that every time anyone tried to put down Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up more doors of hidayat and guidance and victory. Even in today's world as we are, we know that very denigrating remarks were made regarding our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam by certain enemies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will display the greatness of his Nabi. More people will begin to realize the greatness of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will enter into the fold of Islam. Every time they try to suppress Islam, it is like a ball. When you throw it against the floor, it jumps, it goes higher, it bounces higher. This is how Islam will bounce again, inshallah, higher. And all, whatever they aspired for and whatever they thought they will achieve will all go to waste. And in fact, on the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause this deen to spread even more. But we will be required to do our bit. We will be required to do our bit. We will have to play our part. And what is going to be our part? Our part is that we should be ready to give the da'wah, to invite the people, to display the akhlaq in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show the kindness and the humanitarian nature of the Muslimin, to show the good qualities of the Muslim, and to display the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to demonstrate the beautiful teaching of Islam in our practical day-to-day lives. There is no greater magnet to attract the people to Deenul Islam. By Padiya Rahmatul Ali, our great Amir of our country, he used to say that people have read about Islam, they have heard about Islam, they listened to lectures of Islam, they read books on Islam, but what they are waiting is they want to see Islam. They want to experience Islam, they want to witness Islam, they want to see Islam in the lives of the Muslim. When Islam will come into our day-to-day lives, my dear friends, and we will live the true teaching, like how at that time the people entered into Islam in their droves, because they saw the true Islam displayed by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Like that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that day again. May Allah give us tawfiq, hidayat and guidance to play our part. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.